Welcome back. You are on air with Chris Schanefeld, and joining the show now is our good friend Aaron Lemming of BearReport.com, and as of a few weeks ago, a new contributor over at WindyCityGridiron.com. You can follow him on Twitter at AaronLemmingNFL. Aaron, what's going on, man? Pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah, man. Good to be back. Hope everything's good with you.
Absolutely. Everything's great. And, of course, again, we are always talking Bears with you, Aaron. And before we actually get into training camp talk down in Bourbonnais, over the weekend, Brian Urlacher was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the 28th Chicago Bear to have the honor of receiving a gold jacket. I gotta get your thoughts on him, Aaron. I mean, what type of player did you see when watching number 54 in the middle of that defense? And what's the first memory that comes to mind when looking back at his NFL career?
Well, I think, at least for me, Brian Urlacher is a special player, you know, not only because he's with the Bears, but coming out of New Mexico, he was actually my grandma lived there, and so that was kind of a way that we built a bond over the years, talking over the phone, and actually got a chance to go to one of his football camps that he used to hold over there. So, I mean, from the minute that he was drafted, you know, it was kind of a big thing for my family. You know, we'd basically after every Bears game, she'd call and we talk stuff like that. So, I mean, getting to watch him going to the Hall of Fame was an awesome thing. And I mean, just from the very beginning, the big impact that he was able to have for the Bears, I mean, was just huge. So like I said, it's for me especially, it was definitely more personal than a lot of other players. I mean, you know, not to mention there's multiple times throughout his career where he's, you know, the best selling jersey at one point, if I remember right, if my memory serves me correct, and it was a very short time, he was actually the highest paid player in football. And I think just the overall impact that he had, and even when he's talking in his speech about how, you know, he never wanted to be remembered as the guy that, you know, had single accomplishments, whatever it was. You just want to be remembered as a good teammate. And I think that's something that we consistently saw. And it was just one of those things, you know, Brian Urlacher meant great Bears defenses. And it's really the only regret that I have out of the entire situation is the fact that they couldn't win a Super Bowl when he was there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, I just turned 23 about a month ago. So it was early on in Brian Urlacher's career, maybe second, third year when he was in the league. That's kind of really when I got in big into football. And he was kind of the first player that really separated himself from the rest of the pack, for me at least, growing up with a bunch of Bears fans, obviously, really only watching Chicago Bears football for about the first two or three years from when I really got into it. You know, Brian Urlacher was kind of that guy that really got me into really just the game of football. And again, I mean, it's been said once and I'll say it again, he kind of really changed that linebacker position to kind of what we're seeing it more into today, like with the likes of Luke Kuechly or some of the other guys like Deion Jones in Atlanta or, you know, even Telvin Smith in Jacksonville, some of these quicker, more athletic linebackers. It really wasn't seen until number 54 in the Chicago Bears uniform, Brian Urlacher, strapped it up. Anyways, great career. Congratulations to Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer. Moving on, though, Aaron, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Bourbonnais, down south here in Illinois, starting with, of course, the big elephant in the room, and that's the holdout of first-round pick linebacker out of Georgia, Roquan Smith. He's the final draft selection that has yet to sign. We all know there's a disagreement with the language within the contract, but I mean, did this kind of come out of nowhere? I mean, I assume Roquan and his representatives were adamant about this right away, but if so, I mean, you know, I find it kind of funny that he was, you know, there during the offseason activities, rookie minicamp, OTAs, etc. Or am I just kind of reading a little bit too much into it?
Well, I think that, you know, especially with rookies, a lot of, and for whatever reason, I mean, especially with the new CBA or the latest CBA, should I say, I mean, rookie deals are designed to be so easy to come to an agreement, and there's usually not a big issue. So, I think when you look at this situation, it's tough because it's been a, especially when you look at what's happened over the last few weeks, there's been a battle of information between the two sides. You've got the Bears that are basically leaking out different things, whether that be through David Ha, the Chicago Tribune. The biggest one lately has been Adam Johns. And they're kind of doing their, it's gone to the stage where they're battling within the media. And of course, you know, you've got all the national beat guys, different stuff like that, that are coming out with information like Pro Football Talk, you know, talking about where the disagreement is, where they're holding, stuff like this. And unfortunately, it's a situation right now where I don't know that there's particularly an end in sight. And I don't say that meaning that I think that, you know, Roquan Smith's not going to play down with the Bears and go back into the draft next year or whatever it may be. But it's a difficult situation because I think you have a few different things here. And there's been some information going around that, you know, that basically the Bears wanted to be able to avoid guaranteed money later on in his deal with X amount of suspension from, let's just say, the helmet rule. And that's come out to be not the case. And apparently the Bears conceded on that. And now the latest bit of information is that the Bears basically aren't willing to budge on the fact that if Roquan Smith does something on the field, let's say he gets no fight at practice, he gets no fight in the game, or does something egregious and, you know, it gets a suspension, he doesn't want to have his money voided. And usually I'm very pro player, but in a situation like this, it's one of those things, I think, with the helmet rule, and then we saw in the Hall of Fame game, I think it's going to be very tough to officiate overall. And I think that you look at the situation, and it's understandable why players would want that protection. But when you're talking about stuff like fights on the field, other things that a player can control, I think that there's got to be a sense of accountability there for the player. And I think really, if that's the only holdup, then it seems like a bad situation. There's been some reports going around that CAA, who's his agency, has basically picked Roquan Smith as a guy that they wanted to do battle with. And really, you've got a lot of teams, you know, a lot of agents looking on this, you know, with both sides that basically are waiting to see how this entire thing plays out. And if this truly is the case, and if it's truly a thing of, you know, on the field issues that would be, you know, I guess personal choices by Roquan Smith, then you're really setting a bad precedent if you're the Bears at this point by saying, okay, you know, we're going to go ahead and let that one go, and we're going to let you do whatever that you want on the field, and there's going to be no repercussions from that. And I think, you know, so we've seen some different things in the past, you know, a guy like Johnny Manziel, a guy like Josh Gordon. Sometimes these guys, you know, get on the field, and maybe it's not on the field, but even off the field stuff, they do stupid stuff. You just never know what's going to happen. I think in that case, the team should be able to have some protection. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's such a small thing, and it seems like both sides are standing their ground. And unfortunately, at least in my opinion, Roquan Smith's really the losing player in this party, because you got a team, the Bears, who have Danny Trevathan, they have Nick Kwiatkowski. Not to say that Roquan Smith wouldn't be a big addition for them, and he will be whenever he signs, but the Bears are a little bit better off in this situation than a guy like Roquan Smith. If this thing continues to drag out into October and he doesn't play, then he goes back on the draft next year. And ultimately, when you look at that, even if he's a late first-round pick, he's not going to be a high first-round pick. So even if he's a late first-round pick, at very best, he's going to be making less money than he is right now, and he sat out a whole entire year. So ultimately, there's got to be some sort of movement. When you look at the Joey Bosa situation a few years ago, by the same agency, I think exactly by the same agent as well, I think there's going to reach a point where you're going to be battling with the media, which is going on right now, and you're going to see something where, you know, one side's not going to budge, the other side's not going to budge, and this is just going to keep going. And then you're going to see some sort of information, probably, I would guess, within the next week or two, basically saying, okay, you know, they've come to some sort of compromise, or talking again, whatever it may be, and then the deal gets done. But it's just a long process, and quite frankly, it seems unneeded at this point.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I mean, Roquan Smith, he's represented by the same agents, Joey Bosa, the defensive end of the Los Angeles Chargers, CAA, that is. Now, obviously, I'm not asking you for a precise time, Aaron, but, I mean, can this drag out during the into the regular season? I mean, is your gut telling you anything? I mean, as we know, Joey Bosa, he held out until right before the start of the regular season. He did miss all of the preseason and training camp. I mean, do you have a gut feeling on where this might go?
I think ultimately, I think this is going to be handled within probably the next week or two, because really right now, with the situation is simple. Roquan Smith's already going to miss their second preseason game, which would leave them three preseason games left. They have basically tomorrow is a closed practice. They have another practice on Saturday, and then they wrap up practice on Sunday in Bourbonnais, and that's the end of the training camp for them. So ultimately, he's going to miss probably all of training camp. But the problem is if this drags out into this coming weekend, then you're looking at a situation where he's not probably even going to play in the third preseason game, which then leave the dress rehearsal and possibly that you know, the final preseason game where no starters play. So I think it's going to get solved sooner rather than later. Like I said, I think it's going to be a week or two. I think everything is going to kind of come to a head. It's been pretty quiet over the last few days. I think you're going to see something probably within the next few days saying something along the lines of, you know, nothing's happening or this side's not going to budge. And then ultimately out of the blue, there's going to be, you know, positive talks and then the deal's going to get done. But like I said, I mean, this is impacting Roquan Smith much more than the Bears. I think the Bears can go on without him. I mean, ideally it'd be better to have him, but in the situation for Roquan at this point, I mean, it's kind of a lose-lose for him, and it's very, very small details that really shouldn't be affecting him. And if this drags on much longer, I mean, the reality of the situation is if he gets the camp, just practice. I mean, if he's been playing preseason, there's a pretty good chance he's not going to start, especially with the way Nick Kwiatkowski's been playing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just about to bring that name up, Nick Kwiatkowski. I mean, I'm not saying he's the better player over Roquan Smith, but he's certainly been one of those players that has really had a strong camp so far, so that only makes this situation even more interesting. With that said, when Roquan does sign, if he signs, again, yes, he probably will be the starter, but when, who knows, because like you said, Aaron, I mean, you know, this Nick Kwiatkowski and, you know, gelling with this defense, being in the middle of the defense at that linebacker position along with Danny Trevathan, he's looking pretty good out there. And with that said, I mean, let's talk about what's actually been going on in Bourbonnais, Aaron. Again, we're chatting with Aaron Lemming of BearReport.com and Windy City Gridiron here on air. And, you know, I was out there today. It was only my second time out there, but by all accounts and what I've heard, and I've heard it from a couple different people, including one of your colleagues, Robert, it was Mitchell Trubisky's best practice. And again, that was said by a couple of different reporters out there, and you know, from what I've seen, I certainly believe it. The biggest thing that sticks out: zero turnovers, no interceptions, no fumbles, no fumbled snaps, none of that. So that right there obviously really sticks out, and it really does look like he's beginning to feel a little bit more comfortable with not only the difficult offense to learn, but also the new pieces surrounding him. I mean, we all know about the receivers. The new group of receivers, the new tight end and Trey Burton coming over. You know, looks like he's just looking a lot more comfortable than he did the last time I was out there, which was about a week and a half ago. Obviously, the narrative early on in camp was the inconsistency and the turnovers made by Mitch Trubisky. But again, it looks like he's starting to pick it up day by day. That's the sound of it. Certainly a night and day difference, though, when talking about the offense this year compared to last year, Aaron. How big of a jump are you expecting from number 10 this season?
I expect a sizable one. I don't particularly know that Carson Wentz or Jared Goff type jump is going to be overly realistic. I mean, it could definitely happen, but I think fans have kind of got to keep things in the perspective right now. But, you know, you're just talking about how it's been a very up and down camp for him. And I've talked to a few different people and, you know, I've kind of been freaking out a little bit, and I've kind of told them all the same thing. And I still believe it's going to happen. I think it's in the process of happening. I think what you have is you have a very complicated offense that Matt Nagy's running, and you've got, you know, play calls up to 16 different words. And, you know, that's going to take time. Plus, you mentioned all the new weapons they have, whether that be a tight end, whether that be a receiver. I mean, you got to look, your top three receivers at this point in time are guys that were not here last year. Then you have a guy in Kevin White who didn't really have any sort of rapport with Trubisky last year, wasn't even playing by the time Trubisky got into the regular season. So you've essentially have, you know, what would it be, five new targets, you know, with the addition of Kevin White. Hopefully he stays healthy this year. So I mean, all that's going to take time. And then even today, Nagy was talking about the fact that he's really starting to mesh with guys like Anthony Miller and guys like Allen Robinson. And guys like Allen Robinson really haven't practiced that much up until camp, you know, and camp's only about 3 weeks old. So I think this is just it's going to take some time. I mean, there's a new offensive coordinator, there's a new head coach, brand new offense, brand new pieces. Everything's really starting to gel together. I think you're going to see ups and downs. I think, you know, even when they get in the regular season, you're going to see Trubisky have those games where it's like, oh, man, like he could be, you know, that top 10 type quarterback. And then you're going to see other games where maybe his mechanics break down a little bit, or maybe he makes, you know, one, two, three, you know, too many mistakes, whatever it may be. But I think he's got to take a big jump this year. And I think the biggest reason why I believe he will is look at rookie quarterbacks over the last 10, 15 years and when they come in and they start. And it's been a very mixed bag. And for the most part, when you look at those situations, there's a lot of times where you cannot judge a quarterback off their rookie year. I mean, Peyton Manning's a prime example of that. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz had his first four or five games were very good. But then after that, he tailed off. Goff looked absolutely worse than Trubisky ever did last year. And you see the progressions that they make. And it's just one of those things for a lot of fans. I think they've got to kind of keep things in perspective both ways. Not crazy expectations. I don't think he's going to have an MVP type season. But it also wouldn't surprise me at all if he throws for 37, 38, even maybe 3,900 yards this year. But it's going to be very interesting. But the big thing is, I mean, he's got to work out. They built this entire offseason around him, whether it be the coaching hires, whether it be the free agent additions. I mean, half the draft picks, the same thing. So, I mean, this is Ryan Pace is all in on this guy. And at this point, you have to after you traded up one pick and gave up what you did for him. But I think he's going to make a good jump. And I think a lot of Bears fans, even if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think a lot of Bears fans are going to be very, very optimistic moving into 2019, you know?
Something, looking back to last week, last Thursday, Hall of Fame game, Bears-Ravens, did you take anything away from that first preseason game, Aaron? I mean, really the one surprise to me, and let me know how you feel about it, and that is Kevin White. He was a healthy scratch. As you mentioned, didn't really see much time on the field last year. Really all throughout his career, I believe he's only finished three or four football games in his career entering year four. And I know I sound like a meatball fan right here, Aaron, but I really would have liked to have seen him play in all five preseason games. I mean, again, it's just one game, and, he's had a decent camp, but he certainly needs the reps. Was that a surprise at all to you that Kevin White was a healthy scratch in that Hall of Fame game last week?
Yeah, it definitely was. It's tough for me because, like you said, he's played in five NFL games. He's only finished three of those, you know, and this is a guy going into year four who came out of West Virginia that was a terrible route runner, had a limited route tree to begin with, and really has lacked confidence this whole entire time. I understand he's had a much better camp. I understand, you know, the confidence has been up, whatever it may be. But I think the Bears are in one of those positions right now where they have good enough receiver depth to where they could either, you know, trade Kevin White or end up cutting him if he doesn't look good. But really, I mean, the message was kind of sent, at least in my opinion, unless he absolutely has a terrible preseason, that he's pretty much made the roster. And he's been getting quite a bit of snaps with the ones. And I think it's going to be one of those situations where and here's the way I look at it, okay? You know, if Kevin White is able to, you know, have any sort of impact on the season whatsoever, I think that's definitely a good thing. But ultimately, the Bears have sunk a good amount of resources and money into the receiving and tight end group. So you got a guy in Allen Robinson who's averaging $14 million a year. Taylor Gabriel's averaging 6.5. You've also got Anthony Miller in that mix as well. That's a second-round pick. And then you look at the tight ends, and they've got Deion Pence, who's making $6 million a year. Trey Burton, $8 million a year. You got a second-round tight end, second-round pick from last year in tight end Adam Shaheen. You've got a lot of resources there. So regardless of the fact, I think even if Kevin White has a good season, he's not going to be somebody that the Bears are probably going to be able to re-sign, whether that be, you know, just the overall, I guess you could say, average of cap when you look at, you know, the different different positions that they're going to spend it on. And two, it's just not really going to be a big priority for them next year because both Gabriel and Allen Robinson and Trey Burton, for that matter, are locked in for at least 2 years. So it's kind of one of those situations where it would behoove the Bears, in my opinion, to have guys like Allen Robinson, to have guys like Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, and especially Anthony Miller, and even a guy like Javon Wims, it would behoove them to have those guys have, you know, good production this season, to get as much time as possible to see what you really have, just in case you have a situation where you have to go out and get a receiver next year. Because I just don't think, even with Kevin White being the 7th overall pick a few years ago, I don't think it's going to be in the cards for them to sign him to any decent amount of money. And we've seen what, you know, average receivers or receivers on, you know, big 1 years or even decent 1 years will get in free agency. I mean, that's upwards of $8 to $10 million a year. And I don't think the Bears can afford to sink money like that into the position where they already have so much.
And sticking with wide receiver, sticking with the depth that they have wide receiver really quick. How about Anthony Miller, man? I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I remember chatting with you, Aaron, following the draft, and this is a guy that you're pretty high on entering the draft last year, and here he is, a second-round pick out of Memphis. I mean, really gives it his all every rep. Doesn't matter if he's getting the ball or if he's asked to block, if he's working on special teams. It's really a lot of fun to just watch it. And, again, to see him have so much success as well early on, you could tell he's already becoming a fan favorite. Is it possible come mid to late season that this is people around the nation, people, football fans around the country look at the Bears and say, hey, this rookie from Memphis, Anthony Miller, is their best receiver on the team?
I would be surprised at all. I really wouldn't be. And that's not, you know, just because I'm, you know, high on him out of the draft or anything like that. But this is a guy that walked on at Memphis, right? I mean, Memphis is not, you know, a huge school to get into. It's, you know, it's not one of those premier talent where guys go and play. So, I mean, he walked on, and he was a redshirt senior when he left. And the amount of things that he was able to do, the things that people say about him, you know, there's been multiple comparisons, whether that be Antonio Brown, which is a very lofty comparison considering he's the best receiver in the league. But I think somebody like a Steve Smith that had that chip on his shoulder at all times and is able to do the things that he was able to do. But I think the big thing, at least for me, coming out of the draft, there was a few knocks on him. My biggest knock on him really was not even really so much, you know, he's a little small. He's a, you know, 5'11". My biggest knock on him was age, just because he's going to be 24 in the middle of the season. But when you look at what he actually does good, he's got huge hands. He makes tremendous catches. He can't have concentration drops from time to time. But the biggest thing with him that I believed was going to really help him translate to the NFL level and become a good receiver is his route running. And I mean, you've seen it, you've been there. I mean, we've all kind of seen it just with the different videos that fans have put out and stuff like that. I mean, he is a grade A route runner, and that's something that he may already be one of the best route runners on the team. And that's going to be something that, I mean, he's not overly fast. I mean, he's definitely quick. Didn't ever run the 40 during the draft time, but I would guess he's around probably a 4.4, 4.45, somewhere around there. But his route running is the big key, and I think you even look at a guy like Kevin White, who's always struggled with separation because of how poor his route running is, versus a guy like Anthony Miller, who is a great route runner. And I think that's going to be big. I mean, he's broken Kyle Fuller's ankles. He's broken Prince Mukamara's ankles. I mean, these are guys that are having tremendous camps on the defensive side of the ball. These are guys that have been in the same defense for 4 years, and you've got Anthony Miller out there running around these guys like he's been in the league for 5-10 years. So I think it's very possible that we could look at this by the end of the year and say Anthony Miller is the Bears' best receiver. And he could be one of the, you know, very talked about receivers by the end of the year for sure.
Couple more questions with Aaron Lemming of BearReport.com and WindyCityGridiron.com. Aaron, really do appreciate your time. Quickly, let's go on to the defensive side of the football. Are we feeling good about Sam Acho possibly being the starter opposite side of Leonard Floyd? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Acho. Even back to his Arizona days, I mean, he's literally one of the best human beings in the NFL, really has a great head on his shoulders. And he is a good football player, don't get me wrong, but I feel like the Bears need a better pass rusher opposite side of Floyd. We all know Lynch has yet to practice. Fitz and Isaiah Irving have had flashes. Irving now dealing with an injury, though. Will it come down to one of these three guys currently on the roster, or is there a chance that you know, somebody's let go during roster cuts and the Bears feel that they may be a better fit for the team?
That's a good question, because I think you look at the situation right now, and I mean, your best pass rusher right now is Leonard Floyd. And don't get me wrong, I like Leonard Floyd. I think he can be a 10 to 12 sack a year kind of guy, but he's got to stay healthy, and I think that's a big unknown. And you look at a guy like Sam Acho, he's good. He's a very solid player. Like you said, he's a great guy. He's been in the league for a while. But the reality of the situation is quite simple. He's not a pass rusher. I mean, that's really what it is. And the Bears need pass rushers, even if their defensive line steps up. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because obviously it would be ideal for a guy like Isaiah Irving or Kylie Fitz to be able to step up. I think at this point in time, and I've been telling fans this for a few weeks now, I think, you know, any expectations that you have for Aaron Lynch need to be thrown out the window. I mean, this is a guy that practiced on the very first day of camp and hasn't practiced since. He also had two injuries during off-season workouts. He had multiple injuries when he was with San Francisco. He's coming out of shape, overweight. I mean, he's just somebody, even people have even questioned, you know, his luck with the game. So I think you've got a guy right now in Aaron Lynch who, I mean, he's nowhere near a lock to make the roster. And I think that's what people don't get. I mean, he's got, it was a $3.825 million cap hit, but only about a little over $1 million of that is actually guaranteed. So they can easily get away with cutting him, especially if he doesn't see any preseason time. I don't think there's any reason that the Bears would keep him, which would then bring up the question of what they're going to do. I mean, there's guys like, Shaq Lawson from Buffalo, who has not lived up to the hype at all, being a first-round draft pick. I mean, there's going to be guys out there, maybe even a Shane Ray from Denver, who has also not lived up to his draft expectation. But it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be one of those situations. I hate to compare the two teams because I don't think the Bears are going to make as big of a jump. But remember last year when the Rams went out and they said, okay, we still have a receiver problem, they went out and they traded for Sammy Watkins. And I'm not saying it's going to be that big of a move, but it wouldn't shock me if, you know, a few weeks after, if the Bears finally realize what they have in these guys and say, okay, maybe we got the quality depth, but we're not comfortable with that second starter. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to make a move. I don't know how big of a move that would be, but like I said, a guy like Shane Ray would definitely make some sense depending on their evaluation of him. Or Shaq Lawson, you know, maybe a player-for-player trade or a conditional seventh-round pick, something. But as of right now, I mean, you look at the depth chart, and at least on paper, it's not overly positive.
No, it's not. A lot of questions to be answered at that pass rush position opposite side of Leonard Floyd. One last position group I just want to touch on and get your thoughts on, and that's not necessarily the entire secondary, but the safety specifically. We know Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson are the starters back there, but how do we feel about the depth behind those two? I mean, you know, I really feel like at least both days I was in attendance for camp, and again, I understand it's only 2 days out of the, 14 or so that they've practiced, but DeAndre Houston Carson seems to have really improved his game, along with Deion Bush and Deontay Hall, who's, came into the league as a corner. Now he's adjusting to that safety position for another year. Again, we know Amos and Jackson are the guys to start on defense there at the safety positions, Aaron, but you know, how do you feel about the depth behind those two guys?
I definitely think it's interesting. It's one of those situations where you've got a guy in Deion Bush who the Bears are a lot higher on than most people, including myself. I mean, just to give you an idea, I tweeted something out a few weeks back in response to I think it was a Tribune article, and I mean, Deion Bush was getting first team reps in the off-season workout, whether that had been, mini camp and into OTA, stuff like that. I mean, this is a guy in, you know, not like a crazy amount, but he was definitely getting first team reps in place of Adrian Amos. And so I think, you know, obviously we've kind of seen it so far, and Bush has been with the second team, really hasn't practiced with the first team at all. So maybe that was just an experiment, but I think that they are definitely higher on Bush than most people are. And I think that the four spot, especially, is probably going to come down to special teams. But what's going to be interesting to see is if, let's say, Bush doesn't pan out, let's say he goes back the way he was before, whatever it may be, or they have an injury, there is multiple starting names out on the market right now that they could do really well with. I think the biggest one that stands out to me is Eric Reed. Obviously, there's all the political stuff that goes around that with the anti stuff, but you've even got a guy like Mike Mitchell out there right now who has started for the Steelers for quite a while, and, you know, he's definitely getting up there in age, but he's somebody who they could plug in as far as a depth position and move on from there. So there's definitely some options, but I do like the approach that they're taking right now, just for the simple fact that you look at what they have on the roster, and this is one of the youngest rosters that they've had in a while, but I think one of the bigger things is there's a decent amount of competition, but there's a lot more talent than there has been in years past. And I think that's really going to play a big part moving down the line. There's not a lot of roster spots up for grab right now. And I think obviously if something happens with an injury or something, you know, something falters, safety's probably one of the best positions right now to have that issue at. But I think, you know, if things keep playing out the way they are, I mean, Houston Carson didn't have a bad game. Deion Bush had a few decent plays. And like I said, they've been high on him. So as long as no injuries happen or nothing catastrophic happens in terms of performance, I think they're going to roll with those four guys. And, you know, DeAndre Hall kind of looks like he's the odd man out right now.
Has there been any undrafted free agents, not just in the secondary, but on the team entirely? Has there been any undrafted guys that have impressed you so far early on?
You know, there's been a few, and one of them, obviously, we got to wait to see what's going to happen. He was dealing with a quad injury, and that's with Kevin Tolliver. I mean, I had a third-round grade on the guy, and he had a really impressive start to camp, and he went out with the injury. He's back. He didn't play. So he's one of the ones that I'm very interested in watching. But I think another one that actually played this past week that I thought was very impressive was Kayvon Walker out of Maryland. I thought he looked really good on the defensive line, and obviously they're pretty stacked there. I think he's probably more of a practice squad candidate at this point. He's somebody that I definitely keep an eye out on. I had higher hopes for Ryan Nall, but I have to admit, and granted, it was only one game. Ryan Nall looked slow and did not look like an NFL player at all. That was a little disappointing, and we'll see. I mean, maybe the game is just kind of fast for him like it was with Lamar Jackson, but I think in terms of the undrafted free agents, those are the guys, and even Michael Joseph. Michael Joseph played pretty well, too, and, I mean, you really got a sort of a competition going on right now between Tolliver, Joseph, and Marcus Cooper for that, gets that first boundary spot off the bench right now. And that's going to be something that's definitely going to be interesting watching throughout these next four games.
Well, like you said, Aaron, I mean, there is not a lot of open roster spots, even for a team that's currently kind of still in that rebuild stage, but they obviously know they have to turn it up very soon. And whether you're talking about running back or defensive back, I mean, both of those positions are pretty loaded, to say the least. I think I feel comfortable saying that, at least for the Chicago Bears as of today. Aaron, I feel like we could just keep talking Bears on and on. I've already kept you about almost 20 minutes longer than I said I was going to, so don't want to take up any more of your time. As always, man, really appreciate it. It's always a good time talking Bears. You're again, one of the best followers out there, at Aaron Lemming NFL, not only for Bears news, but all NFL talk, and I know you're sitting there watching the White Sox game as well. That's got to be pretty rough on your eyes. But before I let you go, as always, please let our listeners know where they can check your workout at. And I know you dropped a new article just a couple hours ago on Windy City Gridiron, kind of giving us an update on the other NFC North opponents as well.
Yeah, well, you can find, I've got two places for subscribers at BearReport.com or I guess 247sports.com. I've got stuff on there, as well as Windy City Gridiron, who's part of SB Nation, do all that. So I usually try to get about 2 to 3 articles out per site per week. You know, obviously with the Bear Report stuff, it's a little different because it's subscriber based, but you can definitely catch two different things out there, you know, whatever site it may be. And like I said, you know, you can always give me a follow on Twitter, because sometimes I don't really feel like writing articles and rather just go on rant. So, you know, that's usually what I use Twitter for.
Hey, man, I mean, it's really incredible what you're doing from the West Coast, following the Chicago Bears and, you know, having the insight and the, you know, the sources and what you've been able to do over the years, man. Keep up the great work. Always appreciate your time, man, and looking forward to chatting with you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Always good to come on. I appreciate you having me on.